कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा रामा राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 जय श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी की श्री श्री गौनिताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की सामवेत भक्त वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की नेताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे हरे बोल। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सह गणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गिराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम Third Canto, 20th Chapter, Text Number 6. Tanah Kirtaya Bhadram Te Kirtan Yodara Karmanah Rasajnah Konu Tripyeta Harilamritam Piban तानः कीर्तय भद्रं ते कीर्तन्योदारकर्मणः रसज्ञः कोनु तृप्येत हरिलीलामृतं पिबन्। तानः कीर्तय भद्रं ते कीर्तन्योदारकर्मणः रसज्ञः कोनु तृप्येत हरिलीलामृतं पिबन्। कर्मणः रसज्ञः कोनु तृप्येत हरिलीलामृतं पिबन्। भद्रं ಕೀರ್ತಯ ಭದ್ರಂತೆ ಕೀರ್ತಂಜೋದಾರ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಸಜ್ಜಕೋನು ತೃಪ್ತಿ ಲೀಲಾಮೃತ ವೈಷ್ಣವೀಸ್ ತಾಹ ದೋಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ನಹ ಟು ಅಸ್ ಕೀರ್ತಯ ನರೇಟ್ ಭದ್ರಂ ತೇ ಮೇ ಆಲ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕಮ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ಯು ಕೀರ್ತನ್ಯ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಚಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಉದಾರ ಲಿಬರಲ್ ಕರ್ಮಣಃ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ರಸಜ್ಞಃ ಎ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಹು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಪ್ರಿಷಿಯೇಟ್ ಮೆಲ್ಲೋ ಟೇಸ್ಟ್ ಕಹ ಹೂ ನು ಇಂಡೀಡ್ ತೃಪ್ಯೇತ ವುಡ್ ಫೀಲ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ಹರಿಲೀಲಾಮೃತಂ ದ ನೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಪಿಬನ್ ಡ್ರಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಓ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಆಲ್ ಗುಡ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್ ಟು ಯು ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ನ್ಯಾರೇಟ್ ದ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಮೆಗ್ನಾನಿಮಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಯಿಂಗ್ ವಾಟ್ ಸಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಸ್ಯಾಶಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಟೇರಿಯನ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ The narration of the pastimes of the Lord, which are always enacted on the transcendental platform, should be received with all respect by devotees. Those who are actually on the transcendental platform are never satiated by hearing the continuous narration of the pastimes of the Lord. For example, if any self-realized soul reads from Bhagavad Gita, he will never feel satiated. The narrations of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam may be read thousands and thousands of times, and still, without fail, new aspects of the subject matter will be relished by the devotee. Within the scriptures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, the nature of the transcendental literature is explained, how it is ever fresh and never becomes stale or never becomes boredom or dull when the practitioners of Krishna consciousness approach the sacred literature with reverence and with great enthusiasm and for mutual respect for the speaker and the hearer, and the respect for the divine literature, which is non-different from the Supreme Lord Himself. So that is appreciated. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful verse. Krishnat kirtana gana nartana kalapato jani brajita ಸದ್ಭಕ್ತಾವಲಿಹಂಸಚಕ್ರಮಧುಪಾ ಶ್ರೇಣೀಂ ವಿಹಾರಾಸ್ಪದಂ ಕರ್ಣಾನಂದಿ ಗಲಧ್ವನಿ ವಹತು ಮೇ ಜಿಹ್ವಾಮರುಪ್ರಾಂಗಣೇ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ದಯಾನಿಧೇ ತವಲಸದ್ ಲೀಲಾಕಥಾ ಸ್ವರ್ಧುನಿ ಸೊ ಸ್ವರ್ಧುನಿ ಈಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಗಂಗಾ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಕಲರ್ಫುಲ್ ಅನಾಲಜಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ the life lion of Vaishnava bhaktas who come together for discussing such Krishna katha. He says here that the tongue is considered as parched or dry like a desert when it speaks the topics about the petty material pleasures of this material world, which are very short-lived, which are temporary, which talk about illusory pleasures, like the dream-like pleasures, and which are ultimately miserable. So because of that, the tongue, which is extremely thirsty in want of water, which is like a desert, that actually deserves a big shower of rain. continuous downpour of rain from huge reservoirs of water. And he is comparing the Ganga waters to the Swaduni to the Krishna Katha. When that Krishna Katha pours in the heart of all the jivas, it is very nectarian. Just like after a hot summer, everybody is waiting for rains. When there is a downpour of rain, like the peacock see the cloud and they dance. Similarly, a man who is frustrated with material sense gratification and does not know how to come out of suffering, he doesn't want to enjoy also and he doesn't want to enjoy also. Because enjoying causes suffering, but he doesn't know how to get out of it. The nature of sense gratification is like that. Sometimes you find if you have a nose, if you have a nose which is due to sinusitis, you have a serious problem. You want to blow it off. You go to the wash basin and throw it, nothing comes out. Then after you come and sit and do some study or something comes out. It keeps peeping out and going in. When you look in the mirror, you can see that. You feel uneasy. Again, you go and blow it doesn't come out. So sense gratification is like that only. You cannot get rid of it also. And if you don't get rid, you will suffer also. And this kind of sense gratification has no material solution. There is only spiritual solution. That is why when people who are afflicted by the fire of samsara davanala, when they see the clouds in the sky, just like the cloud represents the saintly person. A saintly person who is carrying Krishna in his heart, he comes to narrate or share Krishna Katha. Then that is considered like the peacocks dancing when the clouds are seen in the sky. Like that. So that gives very great joy. So he says here, it's like the Ganga Pravah. So the Ganga Pravah, when it is coming, in that Ganga there are lotuses seen. Lotuses and lilies. Wherever there are honey-laden lotuses and lilies, naturally there are also chakravakas and karandavas and hansas, hansapakshi, all of them, they congregate there to delight in that beautiful atmosphere. Similarly, the honey-laden lotuses are compared to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, or the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. And the honey is the sweetness that exists in the very nature of the Lord, and which actually the lotuses only come when there is a Ganga Prava, isn't it? Similarly, when there are narrations about the Supreme Lord, at that time the Lord's personality becomes manifest along with his sweetness, which is actually the lotus along with the honey. The lotus is tender, the lotus is beautiful and enchanting, the lotus is also fragrant. The lotus is sweet because of the honey also. So all these wonderful qualities are there in a lotus. Similarly, Krishna is compared to a lotus also for all his wonderful qualities which are naturally there in him. So, and because of that, he is supremely attractive. And Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, for a dry land to become fertile and fruitful, for that there has to be a continuous shower of great reservoirs of water, he says. So similarly, our heart, which is parched by the pain, pangs of material miseries, it can become fertile, which means it can become a fertile land, upajau, we say, no, which can produce, and it can become fruitful by hearing Krishna Katha. And also he says that the Mayavadis are making a loud cry that, no, come here, we will give you a message for liberation. And Prabhupada says it's a useless cry or a call, because that doesn't satisfy the soul. Even though there may be so many impersonalist saints telling people that, you know, if you don't control your senses, you will go to hell. If you want liberation from this world of suffering, you know, we have some message, come here. So that is like giving one drop to a person whose heart is like a big desert. So the impersonal messages, which are like one or two drops of water, doesn't satisfy the heart of the soul, because that doesn't go with the nature of the soul. But the soul becomes thrilled and greatly nourished and satisfied by this downpour of Krishna Katha. So just like the swans and other pakshis, other birds, they congregate. Similarly, devotees are compared to different type of birds, because although the subject matter is same, the different devotees can explain and teach the subject from various angles. You see Baladev Vidyabhushan, how he writes commentary to Bhagavad Gita. And see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he writes commentary to Bhagavad Gita. So the same Bhagavad Gita can be commented from a tattva point of view, from Leela point of view. So different devotees have different abilities, which are mercifully given by the Supreme Lord, by which they are able to narrate the Vedic literature in a very interesting way, very enlightening and enlivening way. So in this way, the devotees are compared to different birds, like the Karandavas and Chakravakas and Hansa, Pakshi, and all of them. And there Prabhupada says how these exotic birds, they never leave that atmosphere. They always stay there, near the lotuses. They like to intertwine their necks along with the stems of the lotuses and completely remain delighted and enchanted in the fragrance and the nectar of the lotus. And they don't like to leave that place. And Prabhupada says that devotees of the Lord similarly taste the honey coming from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna. And they don't leave that place to go to another place to become self-made Mahaprabhus, he says. So that they can become more popular amongst the people of the world, and they can become also Mahaprabhu. I heard in one lecture my spiritual master was saying, our original position is Das, but we want to become boss. We want to become... So he said, we don't want to be Das, we want to be Prabhu. And later we want to become Mahaprabhu. And we want to... So that kind of desire is only there in the impersonalist, who master the scriptures with the idea of becoming the Supreme Lord. And because they are trying to, endeavoring to become Supreme Lord, they can never get the type of taste that we are talking here. They can only, they have to be satisfied with 2-3 drops of water, with a desert-like heart. Whereas those devotees of the Lord who come together to taste the nectar of Lord's lotus feet, so they can continuously taste the nectar, and they are given the opportunity to reside in that beautiful, downpour of Ganga, that kind of wonderful atmosphere. So like this, Kaviraj Goswami, the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, explains this beautiful illustration. He explains. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this theme can be seen in many places, in the conversation between Suta Goswami and the Shaunakada Rishis. Similarly, conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaja also. When we read these sections, one thing becomes very evident. There is a great mutual respect between the speaker and the hearer. Like the Shaunakada Rishis are saying, Vayam navitrupyam uttama shloka vikrame yata shrinvatam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade pade. In the beginning itself, the Shaunakada Rishi, when they heard from Suta Goswami, they saw this is something new. Our faces have become blackened by the Vedic sacrifice. And also, the result of the Vedic sacrifice is not certain. What result will we achieve and how long time is it going to take? Things like that. And our faces are becoming blackened, and there is so much of smoke. And thousands of years we are planning to perform this Vedic sacrifice. Because even when one does performance of Jyotishtama sacrifices and all for the elevation to heaven, unless the sacrifice is done perfectly with no flaw, if there is one small flaw, everything is finished. Just like you do engineering degree, if there are 45 papers, 44 papers you pass, you cannot get the degree. That last one paper, one student had a M2 mathematics which he could not pass. Second year, third year, fourth year. Because of that one paper, he could not get his degree. The Vedic sacrifices are also like that. It has to be so precise. One mistake here, there, finished. Or even if everything is perfect, one mantra ucharan, there is some problem. Indra Shatro. While saying that, then the whole result can become topsy-turvy. Completely. But they said, but when we hear Krishna Katha from you, the beginning is nectar, middle is nectar, end is nectar, everything is nectar. We are already floating in nectar. And it seems to us that we don't have to wait till the result will come. Already result has come now. We are experiencing it right away, right now. We only wonder why should we, wait for the result, let it go on for eternity. Like that we are feeling. So they said, that is why they are saying that Vayam Navitrupyam Uttama Shloka Vikrame. The narration about Uttama Shloka Lord is so relishable to our ears and heart. Karoti Karana Ramyani, also he says. Karana means for the ears also it is nectarian, and for the heart also it is nectarian. So like this you will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the speaker and the hearer both appreciating each one another, because the central commodity of exchange is Krishna himself. In that pastime of Gundicha Mandir Marjan, one devotee was picking up a pot of water and giving to another devotee saying, Krishna, Krishna. And then he was receiving that pot saying, Krishna, Krishna also, isn't it? So the commodity of exchange was Krishna. So the service was never tiresome. It was very enjoyable. Like they say, even the karmis say, if you love your work, you don't have to work a day in your life. They say. Of course, although they say that many people, the work which is very adventurous and thrilling and kick-producing in the beginning, later on the same work kicks them also. You will see those who are managers in companies and all who are very passionate and ambitious for achieving great results, and they work very hard. At a certain stage, they find themselves at the edge of a burnout. And they are admitted in the hospital. Like in Japan, I heard, they say there is a disease called Kuroshi disease, they call it, which is a disease that arises from workaholism. Workaholism is adventurous, but it is fatal also. So there, some of the managers on the shop floor, they drop dead to the ground because of blood pressure rise. So the material work sometimes may be very adventurous, sometimes may be thrilling, and one may think, I am producing so much money, I can throw away my watch, forget my lunch box, and I can go on working. But that kind of work, after a certain period of time, what to speak of exhaustion or tiredness, a person doesn't exist to be tired also. It's finished in this world. So the material work also in this world may be thrilling for some people for some period of time. Whereas the thrill and the adventure and the freshness that is being spoken here is only characteristic of the spiritual platform. It can never be on a material platform. Just like you will see, there is undoubtedly curiosity and thrill in people to get that newspaper in the morning. Especially the elderly gentlemen, those who are in the, nowadays you find even people in the age of 40 to 60 or 70, in this age group, a lot of people, because they are used to newspaper, they are not used to internet and TV and, they are not used to checking things in the mobile. They are still used to newspaper. So in the morning when the newspaper wala throws the paper and goes, when the smell of the newspaper comes, that itself gives them joy, sniffing it. And they want to see it and they read it. But once they have read the newspaper for half an hour, 1 hour, then it lies in a corner. It goes to the raddi, you will see. Isn't it? So it begins with a great curiosity, but the curiosity, withers away as you complete reading the news. There is no thrill. On the contrary, the Shastras like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam are actually, they are worshipped on the altar. There is a Bhagavata Arati which is done for the Arati. Arati is done for the Bhagavatam. Because in Burma there is a temple of only Bhagavatam. In that temple, the deity is Srimad Bhagavatam only. It is kept and worshipped. So, Bhagavatam is not only worshipped, Bhagavatam is recited by Brahmanas who may not even elaborate on the meaning. Some people recite only the slokas also. Because even if one recites the slokas, it is so sacred and so sublime that it can completely light up the place where it is being recited and benefit all the people. And if one understands even a little bit of meaning, and hearing from Guru Parampara, if one understands the kathas given in the Srimad Bhagavatam in great detail, and they enter the ears and the heart of the hearers, and then they awaken love for Krishna, then what can be said? Then one can find oneself having entered into eternity. Because then this katha is no more limited. Then there is no feeling of a sense of obligation to hear, or there is no feeling of duty. Then hearing katha actually will become like food for the soul. That is why there is one verse in Bhagavatam which talks about this. Satam ayam sara britam nisargo yadartavani shuti cheta samapi pratikshanam navyavadat chutasyajat striyavitanam ivasadhuvarta. This is spoken by Shukadev Goswami. One verse before this he says, yan nutanayasi ishasya shrinvannapikatam muhuhu. In that verse he says, Parikshit, I am observing that although you have only 7 days to live, your enthusiasm for hearing this katha is so great. You have forgotten about death. You have forgotten about eating, sleeping, drinking water. You have forgotten about all the material demands of the body completely. And you are greatly enthusiastic. And although I am speaking about Krishna so much, you are not asking me to speak another subject. Sometimes people keep hearing something and they say, Abhi bore lag gaya, now it's boring now. Let us go to something else. Isn't it? But he says, you never got bored. The more you hear about Krishna, the more your eagerness to hear about him is increasing. You see, this is the context here is, when Parikshit was hearing the katha very attentively, he will catch a point and ask a question. He said, you said that the coward boys, you know, saw Krishna killing the Agasura in the morning. But then after 1 year later, they came home and narrated the pastime. So, why did you say 1 year? What happened during that 1 year? He asked the question. So, that is why Shukadeva Goswami understood that this fellow is very attentive. Sometimes Shukadeva Goswami would say that, you know, in that Yamuna, one multi-hooded serpent called Kaliya came there and he polluted all the waters and Krishna drew him away. In one shloka, he finished everything. But then Parikshit would say, wait a minute, don't try to cut short the pastime. Tell me, who is this Kaliya? Where did he come from? Why did he come and occupy the Yamuna? How did Krishna subdue him? All these questions he asked. Tell me as elaborately as possible. Generally, people tell you to cut short. If you can kindly keep it brief, cut it short and finish it off. He is telling just the opposite. Without fear, without minding about the 7 days when he left. So, seeing his great enthusiasm, he is saying, yan nutanayasi ishasya. He is saying, shinnunapikatam muhuhu. Muhu means again. Again and again, you are eager to hear Krishna katha. Because for you, Parikshit, this katha appears, nutan means very new and very fresh. It is always fresh. You see, in the material world, a blossoming flower in the morning becomes a dried up flower in the evening. You see like that. Similarly, you keep a banana for 4 days, it rots after some time. Similarly, even people's body also rot after some time. If you see the beautiful, handsome bodies of people, over the years gradually become filled with wrinkles, like grapes becomes raisins over time. Similarly, people's body also becomes shrunken like that. So the very nature of the material world is degradation. You take a rod of iron, you polish it in a lathe, with a cutting tool. It shines. You throw it in the corner in the shop floor, 1 week later it will be rusting. You will see that. So in this world, everything, by the influence of time, degrades. And that is a very law of degradation in the material world. But amazingly, when one hears Krishna Katha and awakens love for Krishna, that is not influenced by time. It doesn't. For example, Uddhava had become very old. If you see, but that old age did not affect his enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Although the body may be old, but the spirit will be young. And that is what many of the devotees in America also said. They found in Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was 70 plus. But the moment a discussion about Krishna would come, Prabhupada would get renewed vigor. One day, Prabhupada was lying in his bed when he was very sickly. And doctor had told that he needs complete rest. At that time, Kirtanand Swami and Satsupadas Maharaj and one more Mataji disciple also, three of them had gone to meet Prabhupada just to see him, how his health was. You know, they made a plan that we will not talk anything about management to Prabhupada. This is not a time. Let him take complete rest and get well. So when they went to meet Prabhupada, Prabhupada became very inspired seeing them. And then Prabhupada said, okay, now let us have a debate. So he told Kirtanand Swami, you take the role of impersonalist. And he told Satsupadas Maharaj and Mataji, you both take role of Vaishnavas. Let us see who wins. Start the argument. So when the argument started, Prabhupada was hearing the two sides. When he saw that the impersonalist is making serious arguments, Prabhupada got up from the bed. And very quickly, Prabhupada defeated the impersonalist. So then the disciples told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you only can defeat, you know. So they are writing about how Srila Prabhupada was so enthusiastic on that day, Prabhupada forgot his illness completely. He didn't look like a sickly man at all. So many, many young disciples of Prabhupada felt that are we young or he is young? Because he appeared more younger than themselves. They were all 18, 20, 22 like that. And Prabhupada was 70, but he was like a young man in spirit. Because that type of freshness in spirit comes in contact with Krishna. Because anything connected to Krishna will be fresh. Anything disconnected from Krishna will perish. Just like the grass, when it is connected to the root, it is green. When it is disconnected, it becomes yellowish, isn't it? So, to the degree a devotee's consciousness is firmly rooted in Krishna, connected to Krishna, there is no question of any staleness or dullness in spiritual life. Or there is no question of bewilderment or confusion on staring at the sky, what am I supposed to do in life? Mere liye kya rakha hai jeevan mein? These kind of questions will never come in the life of a devotee. Because a devotee, moment after moment, he's experiencing the newness and freshness in connection with Krishna. And the reason for this is the very nature of Krishna. That has to be understood. What causes that freshness? Actually, people want a shortcut in everything. The sahajiyas want to hear the flute sound of Krishna. Or they imagine that they have heard it. But before one can hear the flute sound of Krishna, one's heart has to be plowed by Balaram. Balaram carries a hull, you know, and Krishna carries a flute. But if you want to hear the flute sound, Balaram has to plow our heart, which means actually the Guru has to plow the heart of the disciple and purify it, and place the seed of devotion, which can be watered by Shravanam and Kirtanam for a long period of time. Shruta Sampratayachiram, Bhagavatam says. Kapila says that. Shruta Sampratayachiram means for a long time one has to hear. And patiently, sincerely, seriously, one has to pay oral reception. So if somebody pays oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada writes that when he talks about the Chinvatam Sokata Krishna, isn't it? Kridyantastoki Abhadrani Vidinoti. The Abhadras are actually Kamakrodha Lobha. When that disease of the heart is not removed, the taste cannot be awakened. But the medicine for removing that Abhadra is also hearing only. So we can hear in neophyte stage, we can hear in purified stage. And the difference is in neophyte stage, we hear it for purification. In the purified stage, we hear it out of ecstasy. In the advanced stage. But the medicine is the same. Just like the jaundice patient is given the sugar cane juice, like that. So in this way, when one hears the Krishna Katha, gradually the disease in the heart goes away. And the symptom that it has gone away is one's intense taste for hearing more and more. And non-stop, one wants to go on hearing about Krishna, go on remembering and glorifying him. So, in this way, the heart, like in a field, if you want to grow a plant, you plow the field first, and then you sow the seed, and then you grow the plant. Similarly, the katha also will become more meaningful when one is ready to apply the teachings given in the Shastra. And also steadily hear it with the desire to awaken love for Krishna. That goal is very important. Because if one is hearing the katha for the sake of... sometimes one wants to hear to speak to somebody. Because I have to speak something, I have to hear. Or I have to prepare something and I have to speak. That is why Prabhupada repeatedly in the Srimad Bhagavatam condemns the wrong approaches to the scripture. So there is one verse and purport which is very beautiful. The number of this is 11.7.18. The commentary given in this, or Acharya's commentary sometimes is very, the way this commentary is given is so beautiful. For this, I will conclude with this one verse, which is actually spoken by Uddhava to Krishna. Uddhava tells him, Tasmat bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvajnam ishwaram akunta vikunta deshnyam. These two lines are the important lines. He's saying, Tasmat bhavantam anavadyam. Krishna, you are anavadya. Anavadya means, why your devotees are so much attached to you? Because you are completely flawless. This word anavadya atma is used by Rukmini also. She tells, Krishna is completely spotless. In this world also, sometimes you find a man is very handsome, he is fair in color, he has curly hair. Like sometimes they have the song, you know, chubby cheeks, dimple chin, eyes are blue, lovely too, curly hair, very fair. They tell about the beauty of somebody. Everything appears beautiful. When he comes closer, you look at him, he has squint eyes. Finished. Then your attraction is gone. In this world, you will find everybody has some flaw, some defect. Or sometimes a person, your demigod's qualities or some great person's qualities is attractive to you. When you start knowing them more and more by getting closer, you come to see some deficiency. That is why Rama Devi, she was narrating all the deficiencies of different people, not with the idea of fault finding, but to glorify Lord Narayana as the spotless person, the Supreme Lord. So, anabhadhyatma means one who has absolutely no flaw in his personal features, or in his qualities, or in his activities, he is flawless. And then he is saying, anantaparam. In this world, if you serve a master, hoping that the master will recognize my service, but suddenly the master only dies. There are so many people in this world, after you do your work, they may not exist to recognize your good work, because everybody is anta, whereas Krishna is called ananta. Ananta means one who has no end. And ananta param means one who is not limited by any space. Because in this world also, everybody has a jurisdiction within which only they can, like Yamaraj has only jurisdiction of sinful living as it is. Isn't it? Similarly, the demigods told Muchukunda Raja, see Muchukunda Raja, you can ask for anything you want, any benediction, but remember, Rite Kaivalyam, they said, other than moksha. That is not, even we don't know how to get moksha. How will we give you? So other than that, you can ask other things. If you want moksha, you have to go to Lord Narayana. Don't ask us. But we can provide you Nandanandana gardens. We can give you somaras. You know, we can give you amrit. No, we can give you some heavenly pleasures, and that's all we can do for you. So in this way, in this world, everybody has a jurisdiction within which they can give things. Or they have an area in which they are working, and they can say that I can, in this place I can give you. But there, that's not in my custody. Whereas he says that Anandaparam means Krishna has no end, and he has no limited jurisdiction. You will find that, you know, he went to Varuna and brought back his father. He went to Yamaraj and brought the guru's son back, isn't it? In this way you will find he went to heaven, he went to hell, he went to even Mahavishnu, beyond his creation. So there is nothing that limits Krishna. Similarly, he is saying you are Sarvajna, he is saying. Sometimes in this world, you know, when one serves some so-called master, the master may sometimes forget the good work done because you frustrated his expectation in some area. Because of which, all the volumes of good work you did, people forget. They only pinpoint something small, mistake that we committed in this world. Whereas Krishna never becomes forgetful of the good services done, even though it may be sometimes apparently very insignificant also. In fact, it is said that Krishna takes a small service done and magnifies it, and he is willing to forget and forgive the volumes of mistakes we have committed. That is one of his very exalted position. And also, not only is he not forgetful, but he is also forgiving. That's a saying in English, you know, God gives and forgives. We get and forget. So we tend to forget, but he never forgets. He always remembers. So Sarvajna means is all-knowing. Sometimes, you know, people misunderstand you. You try to explain to them, they are in no mood to hear you because they have formed a perception about you. They are convinced that you are having a problem. But Krishna is not like that, because there is no possibility of misunderstanding, because he understands us better than we understand ourselves. So that is why our Akrura was confident while going to Vrindavan. Krishna is not a superficial God that he will say that, hey, tum kamsa ke chela ho. He will not say like that. You are Kamsa's man, you are working under him. Why have you come here? He is in my heart. He knows me. He knows my intentions. He knows my aspirations and desires. So he was fully convinced. So because he's Sarvajnam, he's saying. And his Ishwaram is saying, once there was a demigods meeting where the discussion was going on about killing Ravana. And Shiva was also sitting there. And Parvati was whispering in his ears, my dear Lord, these fellows are talking about killing Ravana and you are keeping quiet. And all these demigods are going to go to pray to Lord Rama that he should very soon finish off Ravana. And Ravana is your devotee. What are you doing? She asked. But Lord Shiva said, what can I do? You know, he is opposing the Supreme Lord. I have no power to stop him. So Prabhupada writes, sir, what kind of master is this? Your devotee is under trouble. He is going to be killed. Either you give him some good advice, otherwise he is going to be finished. So Krishna is not such a master who will let his dependents be exploited. When the Vrijabhasis were about to be exploited, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and gave them protection. When Arjuna's life was under threat, Krishna blocked the sun and stopped Arjuna's death. He protected. So you will find, what to speak of that, he can bring a dead son of his guru back from Yama's abode also. So Krishna's protection is explained in this. Ishwaram. Ishwaram means he is a supreme Ishwar. There is nobody who can match him. No one can thwart Krishna's endeavors. Or no one can overpower Krishna. Or no one can kill Krishna also. That is why he is Ishwaram. Parama Ishwaram. And Akunta Vikunta Dishnyam means the spiritual world which is an undisturbed place. In material world, everything is disturbed. You take shelter of a nation, the whole nation may be defeated by the enemy whom you come and occupy the nation, isn't it? You take shelter of family members, relatives, like Gajendra did. Gajendra could not be helped. Family members and relatives, they were all pulling his tail from standing in the bank. Gajendra said, why did you come inside and help me? They said, if we come inside, another crocodile may catch our feet. We will be in trouble like you. You foolishly somehow entered the waters. But at least we want to keep ourselves safe, and from there we'll pull your tail. So they could not help him. In this way, he is telling that, my dear Lord, you are the... So these are the words he is using. Tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam sarvajnam ishwaram akunta vikunta dishnyam. And he is telling, in this world, a great man has no time for insignificant men. Ordinary people cannot meet a big man because there is a big queue to meet him and you have to take appointment and everything. But Krishna is the greatest personality. And he not only is willing to give a little time to the insignificant, infinitesimal jiva, but he is ready to come and stay in the heart of the jiva, standing, I mean, by the side of the jiva and going with him birth after birth to different bodies and willing to help the jiva. So who will not understand the mercy of Krishna? With a little sincerity, anyone by studying the Shastra can become moved in the heart by the nature of Krishna. So by the potencies and power of Krishna, one can admire his greatness and salute his greatness. And by understanding his very merciful nature and compassionate nature, our heart can melt and want to take his shelter. So whatever we were discussing till now, this is based on the one question: whom to take shelter? Should I take shelter of mother, father? Should I take shelter of uncle, aunt? Should I take shelter of demigods? Should I take shelter of prime minister, president? Whom can I? Should I take shelter of Microsoft company? Everybody is taking shelter of somebody in this world. But he's telling, even if you take shelter of police or doctors or military, you will see that recently there was a flood in Chennai. So this kind of flood occupying the city for 1 week, nobody could do anything. So one has to know, even the demigods who are awarding so many benedictions, even they have no power. They themselves don't have permanent existence. Their posts and positions and the opulences and the longevity, all these things are finished. So after considering all the possible shelters in this world, one should come to Krishna, understanding Krishna to be the shelter of even Lord Narayana also. That's why he's saying, Narayanam, Narasakham, Sharanam Prapadye. Krishna becomes a Narasakha, that means a friend of all the jivas as Paramatma. But he is also the master of Narayana also. That's why Lord Narayana Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna by stealing away the sons of the Brahmana. So, in this way, when one understands from the Shastra about Krishna's the God's nature, God's characteristics and everything, with that understanding, studying the Shastra will produce ever fresh information for the sadhakas. And also the Shastras are oceanic and very deep in their meaning. You will find the same sloka can be taken and spoken by dozen devotees in dozen different ways. You will find that because the Shastras are very grave, and because God is unlimited, the knowledge about him is also unlimited. But and the unlimited wisdom becomes understandable to the devotee by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who very mercifully reveals the meaning to the devotee in such a way that it can bring the devotee to his lotus feet. So in today's verse, he's saying, Tana kirtaya bhadram te kirtan yodara karmanaha. Rasagnyaha kona tripyeta harililamritam piban. He's telling that what sort of devotee can be satiated by hearing the nectarian pastimes of the Lord. So he's requesting to continue speaking more pastimes. And in this way, the nectar of the Lord's pastimes becomes evident to the degree a devotee rises above three gunas. Because the three gunas are contamination in this world, great contamination, especially the lower two gunas, rajas and tamas. That contamination actually increases our false prestige, our possessive mentality, our false attractions and these things. So that is why, while living in this world and while executing our duties, one has to constantly look up to the Shastras, to Shastras are actually on Vishuddha Sattva. The pastimes of Krishna are all on Vishuddha Sattva platform. And by keeping our contamination of this world, we will not be able to awaken full taste for it. And that is the reason why people again and again stoop down to the contamination of the material world. If one doesn't want to stoop down, one wants to look up. Then regular study of Shastra, just like the Patya and the medicine, both have to be taken, given by the doctor. Then the toxins in the body can be completely removed when the body becomes completely healthy. So then the Amritam, the word Amritam is used. Amritam is actually non-dying, eternal, and ever fresh, and life-producing. Amritam has many meanings. But the difference between Katha Amritam and the Swarga Amritam is Swarga Amritam can increase the longevity of your life for some years, whereas the Katha Amritam can take you out of this world, back home, back to Godhead. Krishna Katha Amritam ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.